Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the 3 o'clock hour, Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. Love for you to be a part of it at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Something on your mind? Give us a call right now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We start a brand new month today, and we're excited about our topic. We're going to talk about how to live in this crazy world in which we live today. And, you know, that's hard. Yeah. It's hard for us to live as believers. And most of us are feeling immense pressure to conform to the world. I mean, there are people out there publicly saying that we need to give up our values, our biblical values, our biblical faith, so we can fit into the world system the way the world is going today. So every single day, we feel more and more pressure to conform to the patterns of this world. Yes. Well, how do we withstand? How do we continue to live as believers in Christ? How do we shine light into this dark world? How do we face the trials and tribulations of life? Well, Jesus talked about that as he was imparting information to his disciples right before his death, burial, and resurrection. He knew they were going to be suffering. He knew they were going to be persecuted. He knew they were going to face trials and tribulations of every kind. And so he said this to them, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." So God wants us to experience peace. And based on this particular verse, it's possible to experience peace in the midst of the most adverse of circumstances. Yeah. I mean, when the world is pressing in and the force of it is at its greatest, we can still experience peace. Why? Because we have somebody who has overcome the world. So he says, you can experience no peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. He died, he was buried, he was raised again. He now lives in us. So as Peter says, we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So regardless of what the world throws our way, and there's a lot that it throws our way on a daily basis, it is consistent. If nothing else, it is consistent, the world is, in trying to conform us into its image. But we've been born again into a living hope. We have Christ himself living in us. And with him, we have hope. We don't have to be discouraged by the world system. We don't have to be discouraged by what's going on out there. We don't have to be discouraged by the pressure that we feel. We have Jesus. And whenever he's in the equation, whenever he's in the picture, there is always hope. He is our living hope. He is the one who will bring peace to our hearts. He is the one that will bring us victory in this world in which we live in today.
Absolutely. Great news from Basic Gospel, as always, and we're glad you're with us, everybody. As you probably noticed, every month at Basic Gospel, we offer a valuable gift to you, our listener friends who support this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. And this month, of course, this month of August is going to be no exception to that. As our thanks for your gift this month, we're going to send you our brand new DVD teaching series. It's called Your Living Hope. Now, this series will help you stand firmly in the grace of God. And even under the intense pressure that you face to conform, as Bob said, to the patterns of this world. Now, as always, you can go to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Make your donation today, and you'll receive a copy of Your Living Hope, the new video teaching series from Basic Gospel. The series will help you grow strong in the Lord as you face the fiery trials of this life. That's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And remember also that if you live outside the U.S. or Canada, the best way to make your donation to Basic Gospel is through PayPal.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, 844-322-2742. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, it's the live broadcast. I want you to be a part of it. Quick question from James, guys. He says, is the Catholic religion practicing the same doctrines as the Pharisees and Sadducees of the Old Testament?
Well, I don't know that they're practicing the same doctrines. I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees basically had their interpretation of the law. Mm-hmm. And so they came up with their own standard of righteousness because they didn't know about the righteousness that came from God. So they made up their own righteousness, and it was their interpretation of the law. And they wanted to conform to it, and they wanted everyone else to conform to it. So that was their religious system, basically. Jesus called them on the carpet. He said, "You don't even abide by your own interpretation. You're just a bunch of hypocrites, just a bunch of whitewashed sepulchers." Now, that's, I think, different than what is happening within the Catholic Church. And you know, we can talk about the Catholic Church, and we can say, you know, there's all kinds of abuses there. There's all kinds of wrong doctrines that aren't in the Bible. I mean, they hold up their church teachings. They put those up alongside the Word of God. And if the two contradict, they're going to take their traditions, the church teachings. So in some cases, that's the same as what the Pharisees were doing. You know, the Protestant church, you know, there's a lot of abuses in that as well. So what we need to get back to is just the simple gospel, to realize that his history is really his story. It's the story of Christ himself. The Bible is a book. It's God's testimony regarding his son. It's the unfolding story of Jesus Christ himself, his work through his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means for mankind, how that work restores mankind to its original purpose as God created us. And we get so caught up on, you know, well, the Catholics do it this way, the Protestants do it that way, that we miss the simplicity of the message. And I think Paul had a good warning for us that I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived, that we too may walk away from our simple devotion to Christ. Because the message is Christ, it's Christ and him crucified. We need to hold him up. And I think when we do, everybody will realize what they're supposed to do.
Right.
It's simply faith in Jesus. That's our response. And we uniquely can express that through the sphere of influence that we're in, that God has placed us in, and we can have confidence to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, James, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question, we would love to hear from you. A good way to do that is through the Basic Gospel app, and you'll find it, of course, at the App Store, as did Terry, who posted a question overnight. She says, how does sin affect believers' relationship with Jesus? Does sin cut us off from relationship until we confess that sin? This is a common teaching, and it's kind of confusing. That's from Terry.
Well, boy, that's a great question.
Sure is.
And I think it's one worthy of really a good, solid answer. Jesus Christ shed his blood, and in so doing, he took away sin once and for all. He took away all sin. So everyone sins from beginning to end, from start to finish, past, present, and future, have already been dealt with by Jesus's once for all sacrifice. So when we come to Christ, we receive that forgiveness that he provided through his shed blood. And he didn't portion it out little by little with every sin that we commit. He just dumped the whole of forgiveness in our account. And so we stand before God as forgiven people. So if we're forgiven people, then when we sin today, there's nothing that's going to stand in the way of our relationship with God the Father. As a matter of fact, he says, go boldly into the throne of grace and receive grace and mercy in your time of need. So if we've blown it, if we've submitted to the desires of the flesh, if we've given in to the temptations of the world, if we've gone back to some of those old patterns, those old habits we used to do before coming to know Christ, Christ urges us to go boldly into the throne of grace. And it's his blood that gives us the confidence to do so. Why? Because we need Jesus. We need him, particularly at that point in time. So, no, our sins do not separate us from God. God has come to live inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Jesus lives inside of us. with the promise they'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're in union, our spirit joined to his spirit that will never change. And so we're always together. God is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Sin is not going to change that. We have to recognize that his grace is bigger than our sin, and his grace has brought Jesus into our hearts forever. So we can rest assured. We can be confident in this relationship we have because of the blood of Jesus, right, Richard?
Yeah, it's true. And I used to believe this kind of thing, and I had to work through it. And the way God got to me through this whole thing was to say, okay, if there's a sin of yours that hasn't been forgiven, then Jesus didn't do his work.
Yeah.
Well, if Jesus didn't do his work, then why are we worshiping him in the first place? I mean, it would be pointless. So that was one nail in the coffin. And then I had to look over at it. Well, if I can sin and Jesus did all his work and God still doesn't like me, well, what kind of God is that?
Oops.
You know, in either extreme, you lose. Yeah. You lose very badly. And so we either take God at his word and say, I am a forgiven person, not because I've done anything, but because Jesus has done everything. And then you walk by faith in that truth and allow the Spirit to change us, as we always say, from the inside out. You can't practice behavior modification and impress God. All he's going to say is, sorry, Charlie, it doesn't measure up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can take the truth or we can take our own imagination. I'll stick with the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will too. And one last point to follow up with that. It's this idea of righteousness.
Yeah.
That when we come to Christ by faith, Christ gives us his righteousness that's been imputed to us. It's been imparted to us. We stand before God right in his sight.
Yes.
We have the righteousness. It's a gift of grace. We have been freely justified in his sight. So God would have never justified us if our sins had not been taken away.
Correct.
So if there was one sin left to be forgiven, God could have never declared us to be righteous. But the fact that he has declared us to be righteous means that all of our sins have been forgiven, and nothing now stands in the way between us and God as far as our relationship with him is concerned.
Yeah, you notice sometimes this makes for kind of uncomfortable conversations with God, because if I can always beg him for forgiveness and he has to respond to me, I really never have to deal with the issue. But when I'm looking at what he's done for me and realize that I'm a forgiven person, and the Spirit comes to me and says, well, Richard, what do you think? Well, now I have to have this conversation.
Yeah.
I have to consider what I've been doing or what I've been believing and why it's hurtful to other people or to me, why it matters to God that I respond by faith rather than by sight. Those can be really hard conversations,
yeah.
But they're never condemning conversations. They're just hard. You have to work through the issues, and God is infinitely patient and will do it with us every time.
Every time.
Yes, indeed.
That's the good news from Basic Gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you, friends, for joining us. And Bob?
Well, we have a question from a YouTube watcher today, so we're just so grateful for everyone that follows us on Facebook Live.
Sure.
And YouTube Live, and this particular person has a question in regards to justification. How does Paul see it, justification before God, and how does James see it? Is this justification before men? And, you know, there's this controversy. Are they on the same page? Are they saying the same thing? Is Paul saying that we're justified by faith alone, and James saying, no, we have to be justified by works? How do we reconcile those two? How do we bring Paul and James together and see that they actually are on the same page? And they are on the same page.
Absolutely.
So, Richard, how do we deal with that section in James chapter 2, which says, you know, you show me your faith,
and I'll show you my works. Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
Well, you got to remember, first of all, we talk about this all the time, context. Who was James writing to? He was writing to fellow Jews. one of the problems of first century Jews was that they believed that simply because of who they were, the luck of being born Jewish, put them in a better place with God than all the rest of the dogs out there in the world. And James had to fight that in his church. Paul was dealing with Gentiles. They had no idea who God was, the true God, or what the Jews were about or anything. And so he was dealing with a different audience, but their message was absolutely the same. So to an audience that James had, who tended to sit around and say, look, I'm Jewish, I know I'm saved, he would say, that's not faith. Faith is accepting Jesus for who he is and allowing him to work through you. If he's not working through you, if you really don't see any change in your life, then ask the question, what have I believed? And answer it honestly. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, accept him. Be done with it. But if you have, relax in him. Don't rely on your Jewishness to prove your salvation. And it's the very same thing Paul said over and over again. You know, he talks all of his letters. He starts with grace and the amazing things that grace has done. And then he comes to these last chapters. We tend to call them the practical side of the letters. But what they are is him saying, so if this is true about Jesus and Jesus is in you, what do you think your life is going to look like? Let's imagine, if we will, what God can do through you in your family, in your community, as you raise your kids, as you work, even if you're a slave. You know, all of those possibilities become real as soon as Jesus is real.
Yeah.
The very same message that James was giving to his Jewish readers, all of these possibilities become real in Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I always think of the two. You know, Paul is really talking about, as far as justification by faith, before salvation.
Correct.
There's no work that we can bring to the table. Why? Because all of our works when we were lost were manifested by sin. We were mastered by sin. Yep. We were under the control of the flesh. We were walking according to the ways of this world. So anything that we would produce out of that realm would be sin. So
yes,
we can't bring that to the table.
Correct.
It's not gonna impress God. It's not going to say, wow, I'm gonna give you salvation.
That's
because
right.
That work merits it. No, sin, if sin's in control of a person's life, then sin is gonna be the result. Sins are gonna flow out of that particular person. We sin because we were sinners. That's what happens. But now we've been made saints.
Yes.
So somebody else is in charge. Jesus Christ is in charge. We're under his control. We are being led by the Spirit of God. So as we are trusting the Spirit of God, and that's what faith is all about, trusting Jesus Christ, trusting the Spirit of God, as we do, we can count on the Spirit to produce works that are worthy of this calling.
Yes.
that we have in Jesus.
Consistent with the identity that we now
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. It's yeah. exactly what Paul said in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship.
Yes.
Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in.
One of my favorite verses.
Yes, indeed. So Paul, when he's talking about justification by faith, he is talking about Christ justifying the wicked, the ungodly. Now that they've been justified, that's where James is coming in and saying, now that you've been justified, then you're going to show the genuineness of your faith by these works that you're walking in that are being produced not by you, not by your self-effort, but by the work of the resurrected Christ in and through you.
Yes.
That's the difference, and that's how these two things are reconciled, and you can see them as being in harmony one with another.
Yeah. Well, Bob and Richard, as I said earlier on the broadcast, we are offering our listeners with their gift this month a great new DVD series called Your Living Hope. Bob, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's a walk through 1 Peter. It's
yeah.
a very quick walk through 1
yes.
Peter. But he sets the stage for how to handle the various trials and tribulations that are going to come our way. He does so by anchoring us to this living hope. He says, by the mercy of God, by his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have hope, a living hope. So regardless of the circumstance that we face, regardless of the sufferings that may come our way, we have Jesus in the midst of our lives. He is alive, living inside of us, and we can trust him. And so Peter is constantly calling us to entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly, to keep our eyes on Christ, basically, to cast all of our cares upon him. And he gives us just this incredible rock of Christ himself to stand upon. So he is that cornerstone. We've become living stones. We've been like cut off, you know, out of him. And so we're of the same stone.
Yes.
And because we have his life in us, we have everything that we need to withstand these trials and tribulations that are going to come our way. And as we talked about at the top of the hour, these trials and tribulations, they come at us in an attempt to make us fall. I mean, the world isn't, testing us to see the genuineness of our faith. The world is trying to test us in order to get us off balance, to get our focus in a different direction. Satan doesn't throw these trials and tribulations our way for our good, for our benefit. He's trying to destroy us.
Yes.
He's trying to make us fall. That's what we face in this world in which we live in today. But we have somebody who lives in us that's greater than he who is in the world.
Yeah.
He is our living hope. We need to stand firm in him, to walk with our eyes fully focused on Jesus Christ, our living hope, and as we do, we'll be able to stand like a rock in this crazy world in which we live.
Yes. Yeah, and again, friends, remember, this new DVD series, Your Living Hope, is yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can call 844-322-2742. Either way, a great way to make your voice heard and make your donation. 844-322-2742 or click donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Richard, let's just talk for the next couple of minutes about some of the pressures that we face. As I said, as believers, we're facing enormous pressures every day, pressures that are wanting us to conform to the ways of the world. Let's talk a little bit about some of those pressures. Certainly we see it from a political standpoint,
Correct.
Some of the laws that have been passed in our land as of late. There's enormous pressure on the church and on Christians in general to abide by same-sex marriage and that sort of thing, to say, hey, that's okay. And, you know, we don't want to be different. We want to fit in. And so, you know, that part of being human kind of adds to the pressure. And so how do we withstand that? And then Islamic terrorism, and do we call that what it is? And do we, maintain political correctness or religious correctness and say, you know, these religions are all meant to be good? Or do we really, you know, bring what the Word of God has to say to bear on these situations?
The only thing we can do is bring the Word of God to bear. We don't get to fight with the same weapons that the world uses. We have Jesus, and he is enough.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to focus on.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
Well, please remember, friends, as we've said, that Basic Gospel depends upon you, our listeners, to continually be on the air proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with your donation during the month of August, we have that very special gift for you, the new DVD series, Your Living Hope. So click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy. Again, it's called Your Living Hope, and that's exactly what it is. 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel, and we'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, give us a call at 844-322-2742.